As we stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, as we read through John chapter 16, weren't those testimonies good? They did a good job. Christ being exalted. John chapter 16. Read these verses for us again this morning. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They'll make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I've spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine, will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and a little while, again a little while you will see me, and because I go to the Father. And so they were saying, what is this that he says? A little while, we do not know what he's talking about. And Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. And whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. And that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive so that your joy may be made full. These things I've spoken to you in figure of language. An hour is coming, and will I no longer speak to you in figure of language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father in your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father. His disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Take courage. I've overcome the world. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us to yourself to be your disciples. You are the one who is risen from the dead. You spoke this truth to encourage and enable us to live more faithfully, to be a people set apart unto you. Lord, may you minister to each and every one of us here today. May the Spirit of God take this truth that you have given and drive it deep within our hearts and our minds and our souls and our lives. That none of us, Father, would leave this place untouched by your grace. None of us, Lord Jesus, would leave this place unmoved by your truth. And Holy Spirit, none of us would leave this place untouched by your ministry to us to understand these things and to be more faithful as your disciple, the disciples of Lord Jesus. Thank you for these words. Minister to us now. Build your church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. As we continue to study through this important section in this gospel, and we have begun this study in these early days of our ministry here. This Sunday would mark the 6 month anniversary, or the marking of 6 months of me being your new pastor. And we praise the Lord for that. And in these first few months together, we've been studying through these important chapters in the Gospel of John to drive home the importance of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And the Lord Jesus has been teaching us. He's been teaching us about things of that are very important matters in our lives, that we will be those that are humbly serving and sacrificially loving. We would be those who, according to chapter 15, would be faithfully abiding, and we would all along be personally believing as His disciples. In being His disciples and making disciples, the message of this testimony given to us, and we are only a few weeks away from being done with these chapters. And I would encourage you to be reading through them, because they're going to be important in the days ahead as we minister together and we desire to reach this community for the sake of the gospel. And we desire to be faithful disciples of Jesus. And no matter what comes our way, no matter what God has placed in our path and the ministries that He called us to be a part of, that we would be indeed disciples of Jesus according to His words. There's so much in these chapters that Jesus teaches us. He even drives to the very depths of our own heart that we all desire to be loved. We all desire to have hope, joy, peace. These are the very things that the Lord Jesus Himself offers to His disciples. And He teaches them, and He teaches us on this very last night. He's hours away from being betrayed and arrested. And He speaks these words so that we would understand and believe, and that we'd be faithful to Him. It is wonderful to consider. To consider the humble service and sacrificial love and personal obedience of our Savior to the will of the Father, and that He would minister to us. Dear friend, I pray that Jesus would use these words in your life and the life of our church in the days ahead. The things that we would encounter, that Jesus would minister to us and speak truth to us, and that we would understand the ministry of the Spirit of God, that these things would be open to us, and we would believe and understand that the promises of faithful believing and the blessings of fruitful abiding and the prophecies of hopeful living would be ours because we are true disciples of Jesus. We began last week looking at this section in John chapter 16, and we talked about this word, about these present misunderstandings by the disciples. And that Jesus gave an announcement in verse 16 of His very resurrection. Verse 16, a little while you will no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me. And again, there's much confusion in the hearts of the disciples about all these things. And the unfolding of the narrative as the disciples interact with Jesus, and Jesus continues to give them truth about Himself. I'm here to tell you, dear friend, no matter what you place upon Jesus that He must bear for you, He is worthy and strong and willing to assist you, to help you, to save you. If you are here this morning and you understand the conviction of sin and the guilt and the shame that comes with someone who has disobeyed God, I'm here to tell you the Lord Jesus is a very wonderful, gracious Savior. He spoke to those men that very night, and by the Spirit of God given to us here, written down by John in the Gospel of John, we can pick up these truths and carry them with us also as His disciples. And so really, it's a lessons about being a disciple of Jesus. What does it mean to follow Him, to walk with Him, to know Him? And then we saw, secondly, some promises by Jesus about blessed understandings beginning in verse 19. And Jesus says to them in verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. And Jesus speaks of this for his disciples, his promise that grief will become joy. Remember, joy is emphasized there in verse 20. It's emphasized in verse 21. It's emphasized for us again in verse 22 and 24. This becomes an important mark that Jesus wants his disciples on this very night when there's grief and sorrow, but there's going to be an intensity of grief and sorrow that they've never really experienced before. And Jesus says, I want you to have joy. I trust you've been thinking about this even this week and recognizing the temptations that abound in this culture, in this world, when we seek to be a happy people and not to have the joy that the Lord wants to give to us. Oh, Jesus doesn't say that it's all going to be good from here on out. No, remember at the beginning of the chapter, they're going to suffer and die for his name's sake. The Lord would call us forth because of who he is and what he has done for us, that we are his and he is ours, that we would be faithful. And so his disciples, his promise of grief will become joy. And we saw last time the promise of joy for the disciples of Jesus because of his resurrection. They will see him again. Verse 22, therefore you too have grief now, but I will see you again. Your heart will rejoice, but no one will take your joy away from you. Lord Jesus, I want that kind of joy that only you can give because of who you are and what you have done. As the Son of God and the Savior of the world and the resurrected Lord, I can have joy. And that joy wouldn't be taken away. And it's an amazing understanding that this world chases after so many things. And all that we really need and really want, when it comes down to it, only God can give us. And it's offered to us very graciously and freely in Jesus himself. And so for his disciples, his promise that grief will become joy, but secondly, for his disciples, his promise of answered prayer. We saw last time, as Jesus says they will have joy, and we talked about joy. Remember the three parts of joy that we've been emphasizing, that there's a confidence in the promise of God. There's an assurance in the power of God and a reliance on the plan of God. And see, dear friend, you and I have a greater experience if you are a disciple of Jesus than even the Old Testament believers. Even the men that very night as Jesus is speaking these things, there is an unleashing of an experience of joy that would be given to them because Jesus is who he really is, and that he died on a cross and that he was resurrected from the dead. That salvation can be ours. The blessings of salvation can be ours in Christ. And so he emphasizes here this matter of joy at the end of verse 24. Notice, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. And Jesus here connects in his relationship with him that we can go to the Father and we can ask in prayer. And when we do that, and the Father answers those prayers in Jesus' name, we can have joy. That's a wonderful thing that's uniquely Christian. It's not found anywhere else in the Bible. This expression and this access and grace and blessing that God would give to us in these promises by Jesus, some promises by Jesus about blessed understandings. There's some encouragements by Jesus because of his resurrection that we're having joy and we're praying to the Father so that your joy may be made full. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus, you understand that God is your Father. And you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus would answer, or the Father would answer those prayers because of Jesus, and we would have joy. This is really a confidence, this promise declared for his disciples who do ask and will receive. Notice, beginning in verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Not enough of us live according to these words of Jesus. If we believe who Jesus really is and what he has done, there's an access and a blessing and these blessed understandings that Jesus gives of a promise of answered prayer because of who he is and because of who the Father is, so that we would have joy. It is an amazing thing, is it not, when you consider that a lot of times when we go to the Father and we ask in prayer, it's often because we're pressed down and there are things that are uncomfortable, things that we don't like, and it's like, and when we see the Lord answer our prayers, do we see the Father responding to our prayers, do we have joy? Or do we just move on to the next thing? Do we really stop and take a look back and say, look at what the Father has done? I mean, dear friend, you could even be clearer in this. If someone claims to be a disciple of Jesus, then tell me, dear friend, how have you seen the Father answer your prayers in Jesus' name, and what joy have you been given? That's something altogether different than most people's experience. And yet this is at the heart of what Jesus wants us to have as his disciple. What's really amazing in this chapter, right? Jesus says that you haven't asked until now, you will not question me in that day. And then you come to the end of the chapter and you're like, oh yeah, we don't need to ask you any more questions. And Jesus says, you still don't understand. See, they really thought they'd had it figured out. But it's about to get a little more intense when Jesus prophesied that they're all going to go away and I'm going to be all alone. Dear friend, what would be the things you would encourage a friend that you knew that they were going to abandon you in your most desperate time in need? There's such a heart of God on the part of this that he is not holding anything back for them. And we need to understand that and understand the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father and the ministry of the Spirit of God and these promises that are given to us. So for his disciples, his promise of answered prayer, his promise declared for his disciples, there's to be confidence because verse 23, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. That's a wonderful thing. And understanding the testimony of these things. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, said this: we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Jesus is calling us to something much greater, to come to the Father in my name, to ask in his name that we would have joy. It's such a wonderful thing when you consider and understand the testimony in verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. If you look back at verse 19, Jesus knew they wished to question him. This is kind of the state of the mind of the disciples. They didn't really understand. There were unanswered questions. But Jesus says, one day, and that day you will not question me about anything, because something miraculous and wonderful is going to happen. You're going to have joy because I'll be resurrected from the dead. And then the ministry, when I'm exalted and I go to the Father, you'll be given the promise of the Holy Spirit and he will give you understanding. Oh, and by the way, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. It's so intertwined because Jesus has been talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about going away. He's going to send the Spirit of God, and these disciples are going to have joy, and the Spirit of God is going to be there to minister to them so they have that joy. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it means to be a Christian. So he has promised, declared for his disciples who do ask and will receive, that his disciples are identified as those who ask the Father anything in my name and he'll give it to you. Now, there are other places in the New Testament that describe in greater detail. And Jesus obviously wants to give his disciples more teaching on this matter of prayer. But let us never misunderstand what is being said here. You are given the opportunity to ask the Father according to the words of Jesus. And did you notice what he says? If anyone asks anything in my name. See, dear friend, the only way that you would pray this way is if you really believe Jesus to be who he is. And according to his work and his merit, I don't come to the Father and ask because I'm worthy. It's only because Jesus, on his merit, there is in my life a great trust and dependence upon Jesus that I ask in Jesus' name. It's unfortunate because in the New American Standard, it puts it sort of as a conditional clause, but it's not a conditional clause. All the other translations translate it, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. I like how one man described it this way. The Lord here sums up the prerogatives and privileges of his servants in that day was about to dawn that will last until he comes again. But our Lord brings them together here in order that the scattered rays, listen to this, the scattered rays being thus focused may have more power to illuminate with certitude and to warm into hope. These are the jewels which he sets in a cluster and gives to us for a parting keepsake. Whatever he asks the Father, in my name, he will give it to you. But again, it drives home the reality, does it not, that we're not asking merely for our sake only. We're asking because of Jesus. Father, would you do this in my life because of Jesus? I want the world to see how great of a Savior he really is. Would you give me victory over sin? Would you cause my testimony for Jesus to shine brightly? Would you cause me to lay aside anything of this world that I've picked up that slowed down my pace, that I would run in my eagerness and my enthusiasm to be a disciple of Jesus? Some of you know that our children attend Cedarville University. Our daughter Abigail just returned to go back, and our son. They give each of the parents this little coin. It's a beautiful coin. It has their inscription in Cedarville University. And on the back of it says 955. I was amazed when they did this. They give this to every parent that walks onto the campus of the university. Because at 955, they want all the parents to be praying for the students. Because chapel begins at 10 o'clock every day. Every day they gather for chapel. 7 o'clock our time. And I'd carry this around to remind me, pray. Dear friend, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Father. I want you to be such a one that comes to him and asks him, and so his promise declared for his disciples and the confidence that we have, that whatever we ask in his name, he'll give it to you because of Jesus. What is it that you want to see Jesus do in your life that you're asking the Father that Christ would be glorified for his disciples? His promise of answered prayer here. But not only his promise declared for his disciples who ask and receive, but notice that line, his promise described for his disciples who believe Jesus and know the Father. And here is the assurance. Look at it again, verse 23. If you ask the Father for anything in my name, that you come to the Father because of me. And everything that we've learned about Jesus as a testimony in the Gospel of John, everything he's been giving his disciples, even in this upper room discourse, is to drive home the reality that he is sufficient based upon his merit. There is a great dependence upon him for me to find acceptance with the Father, to receive from the Father that which I ask. And all of this is done because of the presence and the ministry of the Spirit of God that would remind me of these truths that Jesus gave. There's a wonderful ministry of the Trinity in our lives as disciples of Jesus. I pray to the Father and I ask in the name of Jesus because the Spirit of God has taught me these words of Jesus. And the reality of a relationship with the Father and through the Son and taught by the Spirit in the way that we pray. Jesus has mentioned this a number of times. Look back with me at John chapter 14. He has encouraged them to pray. This is a theme in the Upper Room Discourse. Whatever, verse 13, whatever you ask, John 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. That was all the way back in chapter 14. Chapter 15, we see the same emphasis that is given to us. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Now again, each of those contexts have a very special emphasis to us in recognizing the reality of what God wants to do and that Jesus has planned for us as his disciples. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. To ask the Father and he will give good gifts. Because he's that kind of father. See, dear friend, what do you really believe that God the Father wants to give to you in Jesus' name? Because of who Jesus is and what he has done. As one of his disciples, you come and pray to the Father. What is it that the Father would give to one of the disciples of Jesus as praying in his name? And it's really less sensational, isn't it? But indeed, it can be very incredible. By the way, you remember the first time you prayed out loud in front of a bunch of people? You remember that moment when somebody looked at you and said, "Hey, you pray." I remember I was a freshman in college. And I was at a men's group, and we were sitting there, and someone said, "Hey, Tim, why don't you pray for us?" And I looked around and I said, there must have been another Tim in the room. Because surely they don't want this guy praying. And you know, you fumble through it a little bit. Do you see how Jesus, the words he gives us here, dear friend? When you're called upon to pray, I'll pray. I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name. Well, what are we going to pray about again? What are we going to pray that Jesus, because of who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's calling us to do as his disciples, what is it we're going to ask the Father to do? It's a wonderful testimony, is it not, in recognizing the ministry that is given to us. So his promise declared for his disciples who will ask and will receive. His promise described for his disciples who believe Jesus and know the Father. That I know the Father because I believe in Jesus and the revelation that the Son is given of the Father. And that my testimony that indeed I'm a disciple of Jesus is that I pray to the Father in Jesus' name and I'm asking him for things. Sometimes if we're not clear, the truth might be further for us that we're simply just wanting to get what we want. And just, Father, can you help me get what I want? I really am not interested in having what you want me to have. And so sometimes I'll just stop and say, Father, I'm not quite sure. In my heart of hearts, I know there's a tremble here, and I feel like, am I asking for selfish reasons? Would you just show that you are the Father who gives good gifts in this situation? I just want, Father, what you want to give because of Jesus. And what is it that you need in your life right now that only the Father can give you? That is made available to you, dear friend. When you go and ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll give it to you. Is it love? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it comfort? And then verse 24, his promise detailed for his disciples. Here is the obedience. Who pray his disciples who pray and have joy. Verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. This is what's really, I want you to see and understand. We are in a special time, a special age. The church age is different than other ages because of the ministry of the Spirit of God and this opportunity as disciples of Jesus that we will know things because of the illumination of the Spirit of God and the testimony given to us, written down in the Scriptures, that until now you've asked nothing from my name. Ask and you will receive. And Jesus commands them, ask. Be those who ask in obedience to my commands for you. Be those who ask me. Understand and believe the words that Jesus has for us here, that we would give a testimony. Look at it again, verse 24, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. See, the relationship is going to change. Do you remember that moment, dear friend, when you really began to learn how to pray and you began to pray and say, oh, this is what it means. This is what Jesus is trying to drive at. And help us understand that we would be such a people and be his disciples as a testimony. We don't pray because of a whim. Our culture would despise and hold in disdain people who pray. All you do is pray. Actually, Christians and churches do a lot more than pray. And the history of our country can farewell show all those kinds of things, that all the good that is done in our culture and for our country ultimately goes back to righteous people trying to do righteous things. But the situation we're in now is because there's less people praying. More people wanting what they want, rather than coming to the Father in Jesus' name. And so Jesus says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name, but this is going to change. Ask and you will receive. He calls them out. You know, the thing that really is convicting for me when I consider the command that's given here to ask and you'll receive, Jesus says, I want you to ask me. Dear friend, you ever had that experience where the Father does things in your life because of Jesus and you didn't even ask him to do that, and you look back and go, I didn't even ask him to do that, and he did it. Imagine what will happen if you begin to ask him. Well, the only thing that would be missing at that point when you ask him is the joy that Jesus says you'll have when the Father gives you what you've asked for. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I take a step back and say, Father, how dare I? I didn't even ask, and yet you still gave. That's how gracious and generous he really is. And for some of you, that needs to drive you to be more of a person to pray in Jesus' name and to ask the Father. Because you see what the Father is doing even if you haven't asked him. But others of you know, like I know when I pray, things happen. I've seen the hand of God do things. We witnessed even this morning, dear friend, the testimony of these ones who gave their witness and their testimony of faith in Jesus and the waters of baptism. Every single one of them is joy because of what Christ has done in their lives. And those of you that are closest to them understand it even more. And those of you that were praying for them, you say, yes, Lord, Father, you answered that prayer in Jesus' name. Wouldn't that be wonderful if people walked into New Life Fellowship and they looked around and they just saw a lot of what the Father could give and what we receive as disciples of Jesus, because not because we deserve it, but because of Jesus. Seeing the work of God and having the supply of God and knowing the grace of God. Jesus says, so that your joy may be made full. His promise detailed for his disciples, obedience, those of us who pray and have joy. There's a connection there. To pray and to have joy. Alistair Begg gave a story about a friend that had a friend who was suffering through brain cancer and has different treatments. And his relationship with Jesus was in such a way that the nurse, when she wrote down a note, it was very critical of him in his chart. And the note was this: Mr. X is inappropriately joyful. And Alistair Begg said, may that be my goal in life, to be inappropriately joyful. But dear friend, the circumstances dictate that. Imagine dying, suffering brain cancer, and having inappropriate joy. Well, Jesus can provide that. And recognizing and understand, I love how Charles Spurgeon says it about joy. When Jesus says, so that your joy may be made full, listen to Spurgeon on joy. He says, there is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. The grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Could it be, dear friend, that when Jesus says you're to ask and you'll receive so your joy may be made full, that Jesus knows we really need that kind of joy to be faithful disciples of his? And for some of us, we lack that joy because we really are not in the pattern of asking. We just kind of take and get whatever we can take and get for ourselves. Rather than say, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would show yourself to be such a gracious, generous Heavenly Father because of what Jesus has done. I come dependent upon his work for me, that I find acceptance and that the very presence of God is in my life because of the ministry of the Spirit of God, that I can hear these words of Jesus and obey them. And I ask and I will receive. And dear friend, do you understand what happens when that happens in your life? You become a living testimony of Jesus' words are true. I know I've missed out on my life a lot. It breaks my heart. Because I'm out to things for me sometimes. Right? No, Jesus wants me to be a testimony in such a way that I would have joy that only could be found in him as his disciple. And I just need to ask the Father in Jesus' name. And so the promise of answered prayer given to us by the Lord here, I love how J.C. Ryle says it this way, his comment, on the list of all the Christian duties, there's none to which is such an abounding encouragement as prayer. It is worth noticing here how frequent and full are the encouragements of prayer which our Lord holds out to his disciples. Ask, and you'll receive. And of course, many of us could give testimony of the things that we have asked for and haven't received the answers, and yet the Lord had something better. One of my pastor's friends used to always say it this way. He'd say, I'll take what the Lord gives me, even if it is the best. You understand? And that's where joy is found. Oh, Lord, I was over here, and all along you wanted me to have this. It's much better because it comes from you, and therefore I can be a strong Christian testimony to others of the kind of Heavenly Father that you are and the kind of Savior that Jesus is in the ministry of the Spirit of God in my life. May we take these things to be true, that no matter what failures, challenges, fears, disappointments, struggles, losses, storms, bad reports, bad news, that we would testify in the face of these, and we with a testimony in the presence of others, that our joy would be made full because we've asked and received. You see on your notes there, again, this confidence, assurance, and obedience that is laid before us. We need these things in our lives. Being a disciple of Jesus who acts upon these promises of Jesus and devoting ourselves to prayer because of his words, that we would, our Christian ministries would be launched if we would begin to see and understand the need to pray and ask the Father in Jesus' name and to really recognize that Jesus calls us to be a people of prayer and that we should be people who pray. And so if you're not given to that occasion when people ask to pray, you kind of stay quiet. I want to encourage you. Don't be silent. Pray. Because Jesus says to pray. I know, you're like, what am I supposed to ask? I mean, do you know what kind of person I am? Yes, Jesus knows all about that. If you're coming in Jesus' name, that you've asked him to forgive you for your sins, he is your Lord and Savior, and you desire for him to be exalted, you come and ask the Father in Jesus' name. And this would cause us too, when we pray in Jesus' name, that the answers to our prayers would exalt Jesus. That Jesus would get the glory. That God would show himself to be the Father who gives and answers prayer. And recognizing and understanding the things that are going on in our world and the people that don't have hope, and yet Jesus offers us hope here and offers us joy. And dear friend, if we live our lives this way, we will be less deceived and tempted by the things of this world, because I can get from my Heavenly Father in Jesus' name the things that I ask for. I don't need to chase in this world for things. I could take you through a list, and they are lists. There are lists of men who have had everything this world can offer, from money to pleasure to fame, and their end of their life is a ruin. And so being a disciple of Jesus who acts upon these promises of Jesus and devoting yourself to prayer because of his words. This is my Christian ministry. I come to the Father. I pray in Jesus' name. I ask and receive, and I have joy. Being a disciple of Jesus who's asking in prayer, receiving from the Father, so that your joy may be made full, that there may be a less than joy and a missing joy and a half cup full of joy in your life, dear friend, because you haven't been asking. You've been trying to do things in your own effort and your own strength, and you just want Jesus to get you along and get you further ahead rather than, Lord, I want it to be all about you. And I thank you for these weaknesses and struggles that you put in my life, that I must plead with you as my Savior to give me victory over these battles with my flesh. As I deal with my own sin and the sin of others, that I would exalt you and I would say, you are worthy to be worshipped and the one whom I follow and obey. And then notice S. Lewis Johnson, his comment there, and there's this marvelous new promise of answered prayer. Those answered prayers will bring a note, an experience, a disposition of joy that will make a Christian life worth living and vital and marvelous. May we all have this joy. Let's pray. Oh, Father, would you do that work in us? We pray that these words that Jesus has given to us here would indeed be true in each and every one of our lives. May New Life Fellowship be a gathering of disciples of Jesus who ask in Jesus' name, ask the Father, that our joy may be made full. Lord, I really desire that we would live these words out. And we pray that even now that the Spirit of God would bring to our minds the things that we need to be asking for. Father, even the ways that you have given and we've received, even we didn't ask. The joy that is kind of left there that could be ours if we really were this kind of disciple, according to the words of Jesus. And Father, I pray for the one that is here today. They know they're not a disciple. They don't pray, they don't ask the Father, they really are not that concerned about joy. They just want everything this world can give. I pray that you would open their eyes and that the convicting ministry of the Spirit of God would be on display in our midst even today, that a sinner would turn to the Savior. May these truths be ours, Lord Jesus, in greater ways. And what you call us to do and to be together as a church family, as a church body, as a testimony for Christ in this community. We thank you for the promise of answered prayer. Make us a praying people because of your words. In Jesus' name, amen.